Tuesday, August 6th. Today in Europe, British newspapers are seeking to keep Britons keyed up to the danger of a German invasion. They report that Adolf Hitler is almost ready to send his armies toward British shores, and that the attack will begin with huge bombing raids. The usual British and German aerial warfare of recent weeks, meanwhile, continues. And now the news from Europe direct. Berlin and London, afterwards a report from our own national capital. First, a report from the German capital by Edwin Hartridge. Go ahead, Berlin.
This is Berlin. All day yesterday, a series of important conferences were held at the Chancellery. These conferences have created much speculation among the correspondents here. The big story today in the books of Bill Bakker is the claim of a propaganda company reporter that an airplane factory at Norwich, which is on the west coast of England, has been destroyed in a recent raid. The reporter was in one of the bombing planes, acting as pilot. He claims that with the release of the first bomb, the eastern part of the factory was wiped out in one gigantic explosion. Then swinging about to avoid a battery of anti-aircraft guns, as he described the maneuver, the rest of the bombs were dumped in the western half of the factory. There were remains of the plant, according to his story. Folks, Bill Bakker, in another front page column, takes issue with the recent award of a Grand Cross of Legion of Honor to General Herring, the former military governor of Paris. According to this story, when the presentation was made at Vichy, the award was accompanied by the comment that it was a discreet greeting to Alsace, for General Herring is an Alsatian. The folks here, Bierbacher writes, this greeting is not in its proper place. This symbolism does not correspond to the present situation in France, end of quote. And as far as foreign correspondents Berlin are concerned, there's an end to the connection between France and Alsace-Lorraine. During the day, the Danish labor unions are to be diverted from political activity, according to a story in the Deutsche Allgemeine Zeitung. The trade unions, by government decree, will sever their connections with political parties, thus losing their representation in the now-restricted Danish parliament. Some time ago, it was announced in the German press that the goal for the future would be a one-party system for Denmark. And yesterday, the new Danish labor minister, Gunnar Larsen, told workers in the factory speech, quote, it will be necessary for labor to surrender a number of its rights which were self-evident in the past, end of quote. This seems to be another development of the new Europe that is being planned, provided that Germany succeeds in winning its war over the democracies. The prize for the most startling headline today goes to the Zwölfer Blatt. This midday paper carries a red streamer which announces 15,000 suicides accused Winston Churchill. And from the story underneath, it appears that approximately 83% of the suicides in England can be blamed on the government. This paper writes that an unnamed London doctor has made a survey. His findings, according to the Zwölfer Blatt, so that 83% of these people who committed suicide could have been saved from their self-destruction, provided that the government had given them a little weekly support. Even a 10-shilling note for each would have cut down the suicide rate, the paper claims. The city of Krakow is to be made the true capital of the Governor General of Poland, that is, the German part of what was once Poland. According to the story in the Warsaw Zeitung, about 65,000 Jews have received their orders to leave Krakow. This immigration is to take place in the next 2 weeks. They will be transported by the government to their new places of settlement. Krakow is a city of about 225,000 people, of which 29% are Jews. And this move is in line with a plan to Aryanize the new capital of the Governor General of Poland. Last night, the German radio issued a warning to factories and plants not to hand over complete lists of field post numbers, that is, the addresses of German soldiers at the front. It was pointed out that such lists contain numbers of the various army units, and such information would bore value to the enemy. Only trustworthy persons are to be selected to collect the mail for soldiers at the front, and they will give individual field force numbers to those who want to send mail or packages, but no further details. This is Edwin Hartridge. I return you now to Columbia in New York.
This is New York. Here's the Press Association dispatch from Montreal. Montreal's French-Canadian mayor, Camille Houde, was imprisoned in an internment camp this morning, probably for the duration of the war. Houde issued a public statement against conscription last Friday and advised Montreal citizens to resist it. Immediately, there were demands for his arrest, and the internment order followed. Now the news from the British capital, reported by Larry Lesser. Go ahead, London.
This is London. Britain will make a statement of policy regarding the Japanese situation in the House of Commons this evening. The statement is expected to deal with the situation in Japan, as well as the detention of Japanese businessmen here, one of whom was released last night for lack of sufficient evidence. The anger of Japan toward Britain over the statements, over the arrests of Japanese subjects, has calmed down, according to Japanese sources here. The news of big movements of Japanese warships has been denied, according to one news agency. But it is understood that other warships are preventing British ships from either entering or leaving French Indochinese ports. This follows a report that Japan is demanding that the French government should give them naval bases in French Indochina. The British Admiralty today states that although the Germans claim to have sunk 229,298 tons of merchant shipping during the week ending July 29th, the actual losses were only 72,691 tons of British and Allied shipping. No neutral ships were lost. The Admiralty further claims that up to August 4th, Germany and Italy have lost 1,172,000 tons of shipping. In addition, about 26,000 tons of shipping, which was formerly neutral, has been sunk by British action. German airplanes completed what they call their armed reconnaissances over this country last night, and bombs fell at scattered points. One German bomber was shot down in the sea this morning. The intelligence officers of the Royal Air Force now believe that the reorganization of the German Air Force is almost complete, and that the large-scale attacks will be launched before the fine weather ends. The Royal Air Force is preparing for a major attack on this country in the course of the next few days or within a fortnight, we are told. Observation flights over France and occupied territories have revealed that the Germans are hard at work repairing the damage which they wrought in the invasion of Belgium, Holland, and France. Railways which were cut off by hundreds of blown-up bridges are now beginning to run again. These British reconnaissance flights have revealed immense activity by the Germans in northern France. In the last 40 days, the Royal Air Force says it dropped some 33,400 bombs on German and occupied territories, while the Germans dropped only about 7,000 bombs on Britain. The Royal Air Force is convinced that the Germans have been flying over here almost solely to gain war experience and to reconnoiter the island. They believe that fleets of barges are being prepared in the seclusion of the Baltic, where the German invasion of Norway was prepared in secret. Furthermore, the stories we've heard that the Germans will employ gliders towed by transport planes are believed practical in British air circles. However, they think it's doubtful that the gliders would be used to carry troops. But loaded with food, ammunition, and guns, it's possible the gliders might be towed to a great height and released, with a single pilot left to glide them down on Britain. When the invasion day comes, the Royal Air Force believes that German night bombing may be abandoned, that the attack on Britain will be attempted in daylight by precision dive bombing. The Germans, it is said, believe night bombing to be inaccurate and unfair to civilians. The Royal Air Force claims its own night bombing is more accurate than the German efforts, because Britain has been at it for 10 months, beginning with the leaflet raids at the start of the war. The employment problem in Britain is still a problem, despite the increase in men joining the army and the speed up in armaments production. Between June 17th and July 13th, unemployment increased by some 60,000 in Britain. The slump has hit women and juveniles particularly. These employment figures reflect the government's discouragement of the manufacture of luxury goods. The workers thrown out of jobs in these industries have not yet been absorbed into others. The collapse of France, the entry of Italy into the war, have hit the coal business very severely here. The only industries which absorbed men during the month were the building trades, public works, and distribution. We return you now to CBS in New York.
That was Larry Lesser reporting from London, and such is the news this morning from Europe. Today in Washington, the Senate is expected to give quick approval to the bill which gives President Roosevelt the authority to mobilize the National Guard and the Officers' Reserve Corps for extended training. Now here's the latest news direct from the National Capital, reported by Albert Warner. We take you now to Washington.
The Senate goes to work again today and probably votes upon the bill authorizing the President to call the National Guard into active service for a year. The Senate will be spurred by a speech last night by General George Marshall, Chief of Staff. He warned that further delay of the National Guard measure and of general conscription legislation would seriously endanger national defense. Senate approval of the National Guard bill is indicated, but the fight rages more fiercely over the bill for drafting for military service the 12 million men between the ages of 21 and 31. That bill is next on the Senate schedule, probably for Thursday. The opposition will concentrate on an amendment providing for a test of a voluntary enlistment program. The House Military Affairs Committee considers the conscription bill today in private session. And today, the House Ways and Means Committee, acting in consultation with administration officials, may give indication of the form which the new taxation measure will take. That is the emergency tax bill, the parallel of military training measures, for it would draft and take over for the government excess profits. But it would also speed industrial cooperation in the defense program by allowing swifter amortization of investments made for plant expansion for defense purposes. Coming to the front in a growing public issue here at Washington is the idea of some kind of a trade, a swap, in order to smooth the way for making 50 American destroyers available to Great Britain. Those 50 destroyers, General Pershing said, may save the British fleet and save us from danger. Senator Pittman, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, makes one proposal of a trade. He suggests that American destroyers be exchanged for a few British battleships. It is a proposal that must bring a response in London before it will go much further than the confines of Mr. Pittman's office. What Britain would think of sacrificing a battleship, even for a handful of valuable destroyers, is not yet recorded. Senator Pittman's argument is that the battleships at present are just a liability to Britain. They hide far away, he says, from the narrow seas between Britain and the continent to escape the triple threat of airplanes, torpedo boats, and submarines. Pittman adds, apparently, the battleships are not of practical use in the North Sea battles. They seem to be a liability. They are certainly a responsibility. They may be blown up at their moorings. These battleships would be safer, anchored in the St. Lawrence. Great Britain would then have a safe asset that would justify many sacrifices on the part of the United States. So speaks the senator, warning that the British fleet might have to be surrendered at some time to Hitler, along with the destroyers. Pittman argues that if a trade of battleships for American destroyers could be made, legal difficulties might also be overcome, and there might be no violation of international law. In all of this, there is implied, and suggested by others, another kind of swap. Those destroyers, in return for a guarantee as to the disposal of the surviving remainder of the British fleet, either to Canada or to the United States, in case of a British defeat. And from other senatorial quarters comes the proposal of a different kind of trade, such it was advanced when there was talk of writing off the World War debt in return for a British concession of strategic territory. The British island of Trinidad and the Bermuda Islands would be welcome additions to American defense, which might be cited as compensation for the transfer of 50 American destroyers. In back of the hesitation and coolness of many congressmen toward any proposal to give Britain destroyers, is a belief that it would be equivalent to bringing on war, and also that it would weaken American defense. I remember one senator told me, those 400 planes we sent to France, which are now being used against Britain. Maybe it's all academic. It will take time to transfer destroyers, and the period of grace before a German assault on Britain may be short. We return you now to New York.
Here's the latest news from the Far East. In Tokyo, Japanese army authorities have announced the arrest of 7 executives of the Japanese Salvation Army. The charge is suspicion of sabotage. And with this news, we conclude this morning's report of national and international developments. Edwin Hartridge reported from Berlin, Larry Lesser reported from London, and Albert Warner, whom you just heard, reporting from Washington. Larry Elliott speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.